everybody, you know, enjoy. What's going on? What are we waiting for? Yes. Oh, come on.
What's taking so?
Where's it, Zimmer?
Yeah.
Are we ready to start?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Everybody have a good time?
Yeah.
Yes? Excellent. All right.
I think this thing is working.
Well, over 100 years has passed since I first came to Kirkland. Ah, those were the best of times. My friends and I embarked on an adventure to establish a proper paradise on this lake. Yes. Oh, yes, indeed. Lee Hunt and I planned to build a dynasty. You see, all the streets were laid out according to our plans. Streets with sound British names like Piccadilly. Or, the buildings were going up. The railway was coming. I mean, the excitement was just fantastic. It's unbelievable. Anyway, so...
Excuse me. Mr. Kirk. It's a pleasure having you here tonight, but I need to tell you that I'm the master of ceremonies tonight. And it would be best if maybe I just had you come over here and just have a little seat. If that would be okay. While we're
very pleased with the buildings and the community that you built in 1889,
yes,
things have changed just a touch here since you left for the San Juan.
But I thought this was about me, my story, my vision.
I'm sorry, Peter. I don't know how to tell you this, but
all right,
it is about Kirkland and its vision. But things have changed a bit since you tried to build a steel dynasty back in the late 1800s.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, your vision of Kirkland was wonderful then, but something happened. The bottom fell out of the steel market, and I'm afraid that your plans fell through. So how about if we have you sit down?
All right.
I don't want to have to ask again.
No. Yeah.
So
I understand.
If you could just sit down. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Good evening. I'm Larry Springer. Some tell me I used to be mayor here. And it's my job to help kick off Kirkland's centennial tonight. And we're going to do that by starting with a little pomp and circumstance. A couple of weeks ago, in honor of Kirkland's centennial year, the Kirkland Police Department formed an honor guard. They did that in conjunction with a badge ceremony that commemorated 100 years of law enforcement in Kirkland. So would you please now stand for the honor guard and the presentation of the colors.
Rifles, right shoulder, halt. Right, face. Forward, march. Detail. Move.
Please be seated. Now that makes this an official event. It's my pleasure to introduce to you the mayor of the city of Kirkland, Mary Alice Burley, for a few remarks.
Mayor? My word, but things have changed since my... Madam Mayor.
Thank you, and welcome to our celebration kickoff. We're really excited about this historic event and sincerely hope that this gathering will help you get in the mood to celebrate. Tonight's event is sponsored by Evergreen Healthcare, which also is the major sponsor for the Kirkland Centennial Calendar. This organization honors us and our long partnership by committing so deeply to this celebration. Evergreen's original offices, you know, in the 1970s, were in the old Kirkland Hospital, which opened in 1930 to an incredible amount of hoopla. After Evergreen moved up the hill, the building on the corner of Kirkland Ave and 3rd was converted to offices and retail. It was kitty-corner from the old Chamber of Commerce building, if you remember, and across the street from Hall Motors. The final occupant was the Great Choice Wine Shop, which closed the building as it had opened with great hoopla. Such is the path of history. My job tonight is to lay out the scope of our celebration plans for this year. We started by creating a birthday gift to all of you and to the city. That gift, the Kirkland Centennial Calendar, was mailed to every Kirkland address right after the first of the year, and we hope you all received yours. The original art, which is in the lobby tonight, was commissioned to artist Catherine Wright and will live as a legacy of the Centennial at City Hall. We chose February to begin this celebration in conjunction with Founders Day and Peter Kirk's birthday, February 15th. From February 4th through the 26th, the Heritage Society will host 100 years of Kirkland history at Heritage Hall. On February 10th, the Kirkland Arts Center will kick off an historical art show. Throughout the year, there will be traveling exhibits of our history as well. Now, the 4th of July celebration, of course, will pay special tribute to the centennial. The parade will be bigger and better than ever, if that's possible. The Kirkland Rotary has stepped up to host a Kirkland old-fashioned centennial picnic. It will be held at Juanita Beach and will feature food, games, and a full day of fun following our big parade. Centennial fireworks are planned not only at Marina Park, but also off Juanita Beach. And the committee, I should add, is vigorously fundraising to support this great show at both locations. A closing celebration is planned for the 100th anniversary of our actual incorporation, which took place, interestingly enough, on Columbus Day, October 12th. Stay tuned for more information as our planning evolves. These are just the main points of our year-long celebration. Go to the Kirkland website, listed on your program, for a full description of centennial events throughout the year. We have some displays in the lobby you may have noticed if you were able to get there with a crush of people, which we hope you will visit. Don't forget your centennial shirt, hat, or blanket. Their sales help us raise the funds we need to make this a year Kirkland will never forget. We are still actively soliciting sponsorships to support our events this year as well. Visit that display if you have time. And now, with Larry's help, I'd like to introduce you to the very special people we have here on the stage and in front in our audience.
First of all, I'd like to introduce to you the Kirkland City Council. So as I call you, if you please stand and stay standing. With us tonight, Deputy Mayor Joan McBride. Council Member Dave Asher. Council Member Tom Dillon. Council Member Jessica Greenway. Council Member Jim Longer. And back for round two, because he just couldn't stay away, okay. Council Member Emeritus David Russell. And joining the council, our very able city manager, David Ramsey. Thank you.
Thank you, Larry. Now, it's my very special privilege to introduce to you these very special people over on my left, former mayors of the city of Kirkland and one of Houghton. First of all, Jim Box. And a word about Jim, because he was the one, you know, who put the commission together to study and consider whether or not to join up with Houghton and make just one city. So a very special person. Judge Norman Quinn, former mayor of Houghton. Bill Woods. Joe Martineau. Bob Neer. D.D. Hurst. And our first woman mayor, Doris Cooper. And over on this side, David Russell. And it looks like Debbie Eddy is still on the train, but right. She was hoping to get here. And, of course, our own Larry Springer.
It's my pleasure to introduce tonight the CEO of Evergreen Healthcare, Steve Brown. Evergreen has been such an integral part of this community for so many decades, and we're just honored to have Steve with us tonight representing the one of the largest employers in town and a major sponsor of the Centennial, Steve Brown.
And it's my privilege to introduce to you the person who created the calendar that you hopefully are all enjoying, and no doubt you saw the printout in the lobby, and that is Catherine Wright, architect and artist. Who created the beautiful watercolors that grace the lobby tonight and will live in City Hall. And I also would like to introduce, where is he, Bob Burke. There he is, past president of the Kirkland Heritage Society, which has partnered with the Centennial Committee and City in hosting the Centennial. Thank you, Bob.
All right, next we're going to introduce a fairly large group of people, and our greatest fear is that we're going to mispronounce a name or forget somebody, but we're going to give it a go. Right, Mary Alice?
Right, we're going to try.
We're going to introduce to you the Plaza of Champions. Kirkland Plaza of Champions was established in the 80s to honor and recognize individuals and groups who have made extraordinary achievements as citizens of our city. What do you think of that, Mr. Kirk? Did you have one of those?
No, but that sounds like a fantastic idea.
I thought you might like it. We have a number of members of the Plaza with us tonight. On stage are three individual winners: Rick Colella, Olympic swimming medalist, 1972 and 1976. Is he with us tonight?
Not here.
Well, he's probably one of those chairs back there.
Yeah, right.
But I did see the next inductee, Glenn Ethier. Glenn, 1972 winner of the Hollywood Broadcast Achievement Award, and in 1973, an International Clio Award for Excellence in Radio Advertising with a series for Trident Imports. Next to Glenn is Chris Sharp.
Yeah, Chris? Radio? Playing radio. Doesn't know radio.
Do you remember radio?
No.
Oh, no. Chris Sharp was the 1990 award winner of a Peabody Award for that's Radio's Pulitzer Prize for her series and the production called Backhauling.
Great. As you've already heard, with good reason, we take great pride in our athletic teams. A number of teams have joined the ranks of the Plaza of Champions. The first three rows in front of us hold members of some of them. As we announce your names, please rise and stay standing until all members of your team are introduced.
1993 Connie Mack Baseball National Championship Team. Al Murch, Bob Davis, Cliff Jensen, Gary Johnson, Rick Tapia, and Wally Posey.
1964.
And Marty Johnson as well. I'm sorry, Marty. I knew we'd miss one. It wasn't on my list. Thank you.
The 1975 Senior Babe Ruth Baseball National Championship Team. Dan Greger, Jeff Dilley, Rod McHattie, and Tony Provenzo. Who would you miss?
Lou Bogman and Mike Gibson.
Lou Bogman and Mike Gibson. Thank you. Welcome.
You might notice that we're on a theme here. The 1980 Little League World Series third place team. Greg Hunter, Pat Coyle, Rich Mihailovich. That was Rich Mihailovich Jr. And coach, Rich Mihailovich.
The 1982 Little League World Champions, this team took the world by surprise and really put Kirkland on the map. The story was followed from Washington to Washington in every media. Governor Spellman spoke at the Welcome Home Parade, which was attended by tens of thousands. Bill Cook, Chad Hartvigson, Cody Webster, David Keller, Eric Johnson, Graham Black, Greg Miller, Mark Peterson, Mark Swain, and Sean Cochran. Let's give them a big hand.
Whoa! Now, they look like they could still play the game today. You probably know exactly how many hits you got in that game, too, don't you? 1993 District 9 Softball World Champions. Coaches, Daryl Parker and Terry Merritt. And with them, Christy Bodine, who I believe is now the coach of Northwest College Women's Basketball. Former, all right. And that was incidentally another championship team in 89, 90, and 91.
Also joining us today are elected officials from King County and the state of Washington. You may have noted them up here. From the Washington State Senate, 45th District Senator Bill Finkbeiner. And from the House of Representatives, 45th District Representative Toby Nixon. And, of course, 45th District Representative Larry Springer. And from the King County Council, our Council Member Jane Haig, who will share a few words with us now. Jane?
Good evening, Mayor Burley, Representative Springer, honored guests, Mr. Kirk. So things have changed a little bit since you were around. I mean, you're still around in spirit, but so you've understood that Mayor Burley was not our first lady mayor. We had Doris Cooper. And I will assure you that they won't be the last lady mayors either. And you had a vision of Kirkland being the Pittsburgh of the West. Well, I don't think we'll ever describe Kirkland as the Pittsburgh of the West. In fact, I was just going to say, has anybody ever had a bad time in Kirkland? I don't think so. It's the best community anywhere around. So we're not ever going to be the Pittsburgh of the West. And quite frankly, some people say, well, what it really is Washington's version of California's Sausalito. But ladies and gentlemen, I just want to tell you, I think Sausalito is a poor version of Kirkland. My personal history with the city of Kirkland goes back to 1989 when I was a council member for the city of Bellevue, and that was when Doris Cooper was mayor of Kirkland. And I've worked with the city on issues of common interest for almost 20 years and have been, as your county council member, so proud to represent you and to be a player in your wonderful community. In fact, when we're standing here in the Performance Center, it was only a dream in 1994. And I'm really proud that we can all be gathering here, and it's a focal point for the city. So it was a long 10 years, but Mr. Kirk, sometimes it does seem like 100 years ago. Another really great time was when we transferred the Juanita Park to the city of Kirkland. And as you will remember and be reminded, Juanita Park was the site of the original Eliza and Dora Forbes homestead. And they grew potatoes and had a dance hall, I understand. So a lot has changed, but Juanita Park continues to play a major part in Kirkland's history and community. So I'll never drive past Juanita Bay without thinking of those wild potatoes and envisioning our first Americans camping for its natural food supply. So I'm really proud to be a partner with the city of Kirkland during this centennial year. And we've got a lot of things that we can continue working on as we look at annexing communities north of the city of Kirkland. And it's a tribute that your city leaders have made this community the place that you want to live and work and recreate. But what's even more important is you've made this the city to be proud of. And I want to say thank you, and let's have a great year.
Very special honor to introduce to you our King County Executive, Ron Sims, who will also share his thoughts with us tonight. Ron, good to see you.
Mayor Burley, Senator Finkbeiner, Representative Toby Nixon, Representative Springer, my really good friend, Councilmember Jane Haig, distinguished members of the Kirkland City Council, all of you who have served and all of you who are distinguished guests. I was just informally, because I've been around, I snuck out today, which was fun, and got to work with young people today. And I am very appreciative of being in a performing arts center. Let me tell you why. All of us want a place where our hearts can sing, where we can imagine, where we can create and be creative, and that's what we do in the arts. It allows the deepest parts in us to sing, to perform, to appreciate the wonder of imagination. And communities do the same thing. So for the last 100 years, people have lived here, Mr. Kirk, they've lived here, and they've had hopes, and they've had dreams, and they accomplished a great deal. So I want to thank all of you and say really a really wonderful, happy 100 years. A happy 100 years. Thank you for being a community where people could dream, and people could hope, and people could realize their dreams. Thank you for being Kirkland, not Pittsburgh. Thank you for thank you for being Kirkland, not Sausalito. Oh, thank you for being special. Thank you for all those hopes and all those dreams and the vision you had. And everyone can celebrate because everyone's a part of it. Everyone won. Again, thank you for being a caring, loving community of dreams and hopes. Happy 100 years.
Thanks, Ron. Thanks, Jane. Appreciate that. I wanted to take a little MC license here for a moment, and I want to let everybody know, depending on where you have to drive, or any of you out there that might be trying to get here, I-5 and 405 are now safe to travel on because my two colleagues from Olympia and I are here. We're no longer on that road. Toby is off his cell phone on the conference call is over. Mm-hmm. Senator Finkbeiner is here. And I want to take this opportunity to just say as a freshman in Olympia how much it means to have veterans like these two guys that have made me feel at home. And it's been a pleasure working with them and learning from them, and I'm really pleased that you guys are here tonight. Toby, in many respects, we were talking about that before he got here tonight, and one of the things he really wanted to emphasize is that Toby lives in Kingsgate, and we have a large annexation area that Jane referred to, and he really represents the future generation of Kirkland. There's a new community out there waiting to be part of us. So, Toby, we're looking forward to your leadership there. Thanks for coming, you guys. So, Peter.
Yes, Larry.
Now we'd really like to bring you up to date. This was just the pomp and circumstance. Now you're going to learn what happened in those 100 years since you had that vision to build steel here. And we've got some special people here that are going to share a little bit of Kirkland's history. And we're going to let them come out now.
Hello, my name is Alicia Forbes, and this is my husband, Leslie. Leslie's parents were Eliza and Dora Forbes, who in 1874 homesteaded the property that would become Juanita Beach. It was a wild country then with all the trees and forests and wildlife, and seemed an ideal place to settle and grow a family. The local natives, when they visited, were friendly, and the neighbors, though far apart, were a comfort.
I was the youngest boy in the family, and we sure did have some times. Dad built a house on the bay, and we worked logging and lumbering up in the hills. We had a mill, and then we had a kiln. And when the kiln caught on fire and burned the mill down, we had to farm cranberries for a while. Our crop sure kept the beavers full, but they didn't do much for our bankroll. Still, Dad was a jack of all trades and always found work at other mills and farms, so we survived just fine.
Eliza was a typical pioneer housewife who lived into her 90s, gathering dandelions and nettles for salads and shooting robins from the porch when they bothered her cherries. She was the first female justice of the peace in King County and perhaps Washington Territory. She had to give up those duties in 1889 when Washington became a state. Women still couldn't vote, you know.
In 1905, we lost everything to another fire. Dad rebuilt on the beach, and we started building the dance hall. That's where I met Alicia here. She was a steward of Houghton. I knew she was the girl for me, and we married in 1910.
We worked hard keeping up the dance hall and our own five young'uns. But in 1918, another fire took the dance hall and near wiped us out. Fire just seems to follow us, and fortunately, when they lowered the lake in 1916, we were suddenly sitting on a huge sandy beach.
Yep, and we all went to work again, cleaning and clearing, and we built ourselves a park with a new dance hall and a 30-foot-long bathhouse, the finest on the lake. It was a great success. People came by boat and overland from all over for the dances and to use the beach.
Yes, it was pretty special and very popular. I worked the beach store when Leslie was at his job in Seattle. We didn't charge admission to the park, but we did charge 25 cents rent to use the tables.
Till we found some folks subletting our tables for more than we were charging. We sure put a stop to that.
Yes, all in all, it was a fine life there at Juanita Beach. In 1956, the family sold the property when we retired and moved to Kamano Island.
It belongs to the city of Kirkland now. And I hear tell there's going to be a great big old-fashioned picnic there on the 4th of July for the centennial. Wouldn't want to miss that.
Hi, I'm Pete Marigold, and I'm going to tell you the story of the historic Kalakala. Now, the Peralta, a double-ended ferry from San Francisco, was launched in 1927. Now, she hesitated on her launch, the sure sign of a bad luck ship, according to many seafarers, and then in 1933, she burned to her waterline. Now, we bought that hull for $10 and towed it on over to the Lake Washington shipyard. Now, the plan was to create her into a revolutionary ferry design that would practically fly across the Puget Sound, hence the name Kalakala, meaning the flying bird in Chinook, the language of the local Native Americans. So, when we launched her in 1933, she was the largest and fastest ferry on the Puget Sound. To give her more speed, we converted her into a single-ender with a 3,000-horsepower diesel engine. And to cut back on drag, everything from lights to lifeboats were recessed back into the stern. So there were three. So overall, we didn't even know who created it. Some credit a Boeing worker who made models but was temporarily laid off with creating a small wooden model that we used in lieu of drawings. Now, the interior of the Kalakala was luxurious by ferry standards. There were 500 leather-upholstered easy chairs, and there were three large observation decks, a sunroof, and a double horseshoe lunch counter. Mm-mm. And there were two lounges. The women's lounge was painted in pleasing colors, and below the deck there was the men's lounge and bar. Now, this was an immediate tourist attraction. It carried workers by day and partygoers by night. It even had its own 8-piece orchestra for dancing on our decks. Through her career, she went straight from the Great Depression on to Century 21 at the 1962 World Fair in Seattle. Through her career, she carried more than 30 million passengers. Unfortunately, the Kalakala was also known for noise, vibration, and a lot of accidents. The superstructure blocked the pilot's view, and she was prone to running into things. Through her career, she ran to dozens of other vessels, including tugs and other ferries. I remember that in the past, the Coleman ferry was hit so many times that it caused permanent and costly damage to the port. Now, since then, she has tried and failed to become the prodigal ship of the Northwest, since she was auctioned in 1967 to an Alaskan fish processing company. But regardless of whatever happens, her history still remains a part of Kirkland's own.
Howdy, folks. Sure nice to be here tonight. Glad both of you could come. While I'm up here, I want to tell you a little bit of history. It wasn't on my script, but I found out that the first motion picture theater was on the first floor of the Masonic Temple up on Market Street and 7th, known in those days as Piccadilly. The man I knew whose name was, but now I'm entitled to forget those things. So he would back his Model T Ford up to the back window of the hallway where they were going to show the movies, jack up the car, attach a belt to it, run it in through the window, start the motor. He had power for his projector. And then, being a real entrepreneur, he hired a couple of the young kids in town, a little boy and his younger sister, go down to the Leschi at the dock and pick up the film. I think they were showing Charlie Chaplin that night, if I recall right. And he paid him a dime for that, but he also let him in free. Well, maybe you're wondering who I am. Well, really, I'm Frank Curtis, editor of the East Side News, founded before the East Side Journal, before the Bellevue American, before the Redmond Roundabout, before the Seattle Times, before the PI, even before the Sun, the Seattle Sun. Bill Ballantyne of Kirkland was the owner of that at one time. I hope you know that. Well, Eastside News printed all the news that was fit to be printed between Carillon Point and Juanita. But since we were the first paper in the area, we also covered Bothell, Finn Hill, North Rose Hill, South Rose Hill, and all in between. Bellevue wasn't even an incorporated city then. So, you know, there was a lot of news going on in those days, the 1920s, 30s, 40s, and 50s. And obviously the war effect was having it being felt here in Kirkland. And the shipyards were filled with men and women workers alike. And the ship tenders were being turned out by the hundreds at the Lake Washington shipyard. The mass of laborers came here from all around the lake, arriving here daily by ferry. The boarding houses were kept full and the bars were always busy. The activity at the Sandpoint across the lake made our location a bit risky because we had frequent blackouts and air raid drills. But after the war, it was time to rebuild the spirit of our community. In 1946, the first Kirkland Summer Festival was held. That first year, our pig races on Lake Washington gained us national acclaim in Life magazine and other media. Let me read you an article we printed in 1949 about the planning of that year's festival. Flash, August 1949. The third annual Summer Festival will attract many visitors this Saturday, August 6th, with a terrific program lined up. A big parade will start at 10 a.m. and boast over 40 floats, numerous bands and bagpipers from the Northwest. More than 1,000 horses will parade. This had been a little later, our former city manager, Al Locke, would have been out there sweeping the street. Huh. After the parade, the festival's committee had planned a three-hour show in the ballpark with a schedule of events like a three-ring circus. Art Herring, the chairman, has lined up trapeze artists, jugglers, and the world champion trampoline performer, Don Stringfellow. He has also booked square dancers and a wide assortment of small babies. Babies are generally small. The babies will appear in the first diaper derby ever staged on the east side. These youngsters will be disqualified if they can even toddle. They will have to go on all fours to the mothers waiting at the finish line. Rabbits will travel on a wire just ahead of the contestants. And talk about noise pollution. The Sandpoint Naval Air Station will send three squadrons of dive bombers and fighters over both the parade and the ballpark during the day. Miss Diane Gash of Houghton will reign as queen of the festival. End of flash. Well, it's almost done for me, too, but, oh, I think I should let you know that I got a little secret I'd like to share with you. Nobody else knew about this, but Miss Dee Dee Anstett, who was Miss USA, still lives in the area. In fact, she lives in Seattle. Her parents live right here in Kirkland. We're not going to disclose their location because they don't want to be bothered, but they may be sitting next to you right out there. But Dee Dee was a great friend of mine, and I think it's great that we have somebody here to represent her and all she stood for in those days. So at this time, I'd like to introduce our new Miss Dee Dee Anstett, USA of 1968. I'll be out front and take your picture. I want everybody's name on my notebook before I leave tonight.
Hi there. I'm Dee Dee Anstett, and in 1968, I was Miss USA. That's right, Miss the United States of America. It was a wonderful time for me, and I was proud to be a national representative from my hometown of Kirkland, Washington. At the time, Lee Johnson presented me with a red convertible for a year, and Chuck Morgan and Betty Lightfeld presented me with as much encouragement as a girl could wish for. As you all know, the 60s were very culturally challenging times, and a normal trip to Seattle that used to require white gloves and a hat was now entirely different. Seattle was where all the coffee houses were, and young people used to go there for hours and listen to folk music and poetry and drink coffee, but just normal coffee. No mochas or double tall, non-fat, no foam lattes. We now had two bridges to the east side, so getting to Seattle and to the airport was much easier and faster. With our own bridge, we didn't have to cut through Bellevue or drive around the lake to do business or go to school in Seattle. A result of the Evergreen Point Bridge was a new focus on our Kirkland shorefront, and city leaders were quick to realize the need to purchase parkland on the water. Lucky, good thing they did, because right after the bridge became eager investors ready to populate our beautiful shoreline. But what else was happening here in Kirkland? The big news was, and had been for years, Lake Washington High School football. Kirkland was a football town. Starting in the time of the 50s and around the time of Leroy Johnson and through the 60s, we were big on football. With the likes of Paul Taylor, Ron Davis, and Steve Leverett led us to a national record of undefeated football games. Kirkland was the biggest. Friday was football night, and at 6 o'clock it simply shut down and everyone went to the game. The 60s were an interesting time for our country and a midpoint in our city's history. And it was the grand era of football in Kirkland, and a terrific time to be Miss USA from Kirkland.
Hi, I'm Cody Webster, and this is Moose Adams. We just won the Little League World Series in Williamsport in front of 40,000 people. We are awesome!
Yeah, 40,000! That's more people than even live in Kirkland. Cody was great. He threw a two-hitter in the final game, and we broke Taiwan's 31-game winning streak to beat him 6-0.
That's right. And we were one of the first two teams from Washington ever to qualify for the Little League World Series. The first one was also from Kirkland in 1890.
That was totally wrong.
That Taiwan team was big. The paper said that some of the players might have been older than they were supposed to be, and that some of them even shaved.
Nah, that really wouldn't have mattered. We were playing the best baseball of our lives! No one could have stopped us in 1982! We were so totally awesome!
Cool it, Cody. We're also here to talk about some other stuff that was going on in the 80s. They gave us top billing because we were the best thing that happened. But some other stuff was going on too.
Okay, like what? Oh yeah, I remember. The Seahawks were playing some great football. That was when they were still down at the old shipyard site and played in 1982. For the AFC Championships. My dad still hates the Raiders for that one.
That was before they built Carillon Point, wasn't it? I seem to remember they had croquet matches at the headquarters. Seemed like a funny thing for football players to want to do. What was the name of that guy who wanted to take the Hawks to California? Sure glad that didn't happen. One of these days, the Seahawks are going to make it all the way to the Super Bowl.
That'd be as awesome as if the Mariners won the World Series. I want to see that happen.
I remember the summer festivals were pretty cool, especially when they brought all those rides and carnival stuff to the parking lot where the library now stands.
Yeah, that was Moss Bay days. Those days got pretty wild down on the lake. I think they finally had to stop when it got too out of control.
I think lots of things got out of control in the 80s, but we sure didn't.
You're right. We were just awesome.
W.C. Fields was right. Never follow children on stage. So, Peter, a few things have changed. You had a great vision, but a few things happened along the way. A lot of history tonight. We're so proud of that history that, in fact, we want to share that with all of our residents and our citizens. And to do that, one of the ways we're going to accomplish that is through the Centennial History Hunt. And to explain that to you tonight, let me introduce to you Kirkland's own storyteller, Alan Stein. Alan has a unique passion and a drive to find out every nuance of Kirkland history. He is, in fact, our resident historian. Alan also has worked with HistoryLink for years describing the history of Kirkland, and he's going to describe a little bit more of it tonight. Alan Stein.
You know, I have to say what an honor it is after researching and writing about Kirkland for so many years to be sharing the stage with so many people in Kirkland's past, both living and... in any case, the History Hunt. What the History Hunt is, it's going to be a contest that will be in the Kirkland Courier over the next year, month by month. And it's a way for you to find out more about Kirkland's history, to get you out exploring Kirkland, so you can learn and have fun at the same time, and it also gives you a chance to win some prizes, win plenty of fabulous prizes. What it is it's going to be, like I said, every month in the Courier, and it will be a little rhyming poem describing somewhere in Kirkland. And some of you may be able to figure it out from sitting at home right away. Some of you might take a little bit of puzzling over. But even if you know where the location is, you will have to get out and explore and find that location in order to actually submit the answer to the puzzle. Now, if you can actually figure out the answer to the puzzle while sitting at home, we sure would like you to join the Kirkland Heritage Society, because you obviously know more about the little tiny nuances of Kirkland history than even we do. KirklandHeritage.org, in case you're interested. In any case, let me read you the first clue. How do I feel like Alex Trebek here? And this is the first clue. So like I said, you may be able to figure this out, but you will have to find the actual answer at the location. Time was of the essence if you wished to cross the lake. You had to be quite punctual, or another route you'd take. Go downtown and look for where the cars would wait in lines. And there you'll find an object that was built by Zabel Signs. Inspect it very closely. Look it up and down. Send in the date and year that it was given to the town. Yeah. Now, the forms, the entry forms, will be in the Kirkland Courier. And there will also be further, a longer description of the rules, so you can understand how to play the game. But you have a rough idea now, so... go out and hunt down that location and send it in. And this month's prize, I believe, is a night at the Shumway Mansion. So, and there'll be lots of, like I said, fabulous prizes to come down the road. So keep an eye out for the contest. Enjoy it and have fun.
Thank you, Alan. Well, the challenge is on. And as Alan said, the prize for the winner of the month's episode of the History Hunt is a weekend stay at the Shumway Mansion B&B. So make sure you read the Courier for new clues every month. Now, in closing, we have asked Pastor Mike Anderson of Holy Spirit Lutheran Church to share his thoughts on this historic occasion. Mike?
Thank you. Let me begin by speaking on behalf of all of us tonight to say thank you to the actors, the presenters, the organizers, and the distinguished guests who are here tonight. They deserve a round of applause. I especially appreciated the vignettes of history. I am new to Kirkland as of only 20 years ago, but I was born somewhere else, and I am embarrassed to say that I did not know much of Kirkland's history, almost none of what was taught us in those vignettes. And I realized that when I moved to Kirkland from another part of the country, most of us, many of us here tonight, with the same experience, moving from other parts of the country and the world, we take on Kirkland as our community, as our new home. And I assumed I would be neighbors with people down the street. But tonight, as I have watched those vignettes, I realize I'm also in a community with people from the past. Those people from the past who have made decisions and created a community in which I now live are part of my community. I may never know them, but I am affected by them, and I appreciate their being part of my history now. It is a special pleasure and privilege to know so many people represented here on the stage are actual characters from that history who have made such decisions on our behalf. And what an incredible city they have given to us. I don't know about your experience, but when I am out and about in the state of Washington and someone asks me, well, where do you live? And I say, well, I'm from Kirkland. Oh, Kirkland, what a great place to live. What a great city. I've been to Kirkland. How many times have you heard Kirkland described as a suburb with a small town feeling? And it truly has that. And as I've been thinking about Kirkland and its small town mood or tone, I've wondered, what is it about our community that has that, that captures that small town feeling? I initially thought of our downtown. Our downtown is still on a human scale. It's a wonderful downtown with a great access to the lake, a gathering place for the entire community. People rub shoulders, meet one another. And that same kind of community space is spilling over into our neighborhoods. Our neighborhoods are becoming more pedestrian friendly and community oriented. So I think that's part of what makes Kirkland a small town. But as I continue to reflect on it, you know, it's not really a place. It's really people. If you're from a small town, as I am, everyone knows everyone else. And that's what's special about small town life, is that you know people and you care about people. And as I think about Kirkland, to me, that's its distinguishing characteristic. I know we don't know all the people who are in this room. You don't know all the residents of Kirkland. But you have a circle, and there are so many circles of association in Kirkland where people connect, where people give their time, where people volunteer. Think of all the organizations, sports organizations represented right before us here. The city, our neighborhood associations are so strong. Our schools, our churches, our service clubs, our chamber, our medical community. This is a wonderful place to live. And a great time for us to celebrate this milestone of 100 years. As I think about all those circles of association and the fact that so many of you are volunteers and give your time and talent, it reminds me of this little book. It's something that many of you have probably read or at least heard of. It's a book written in the 1800s. I read it in college. I still have the price of 60 cents on it. So it's a long time ago. This is by Alex de Tocqueville. He wrote Democracy in America. He came over from France to take a look at American democracy and observe it. And the primary thing he observed about American democracy is the fact that everyone seemed to volunteer. Everyone seemed to be part of a club or an organization or an association. Everybody connected. I'm proud to be an American when America is described that way. I'm proud to be a resident of the city of Kirkland when so many people continue in that kind of attitude and community service. Sadly, we have on the horizon in the 21st century an alternative vision and direction for our society. And I have another book here that I'd like to show you. It's written in the late 1990s by someone named Robert Putnam. It's called Bowling Alone. In this book, the sociologist describes American culture, American civic value, American volunteerism. And he uses the analogy of bowling leagues. He said, a generation ago, most people bowled in leagues. They joined. They had friends and community that they socialized with. Today, the majority of people bowl by themselves, hence the title, Bowling Alone. Putnam extrapolates that into a description of American society where people are continuing to turn inward, to close themselves off from their neighbors, to become a country of spectators and consumers. That is a vision of America. So is this. Maybe as we stand at 100 years of Kirkland history, it is appropriate not only to look to the past about what so many people have done for us and to consider them our community. Maybe we should also, this year, be looking toward the future and how we pass this great gift of city and community on to the next generation. I submit to you, and I know it is your hope, as it is mine, that as we move into the next century, we will reclaim the values of de Tocqueville as he described America. I know it is your hope, as it is mine, that we reject becoming a nation of spectators and consumers, locked behind our fenced yards and plopped down in front of our big screen TVs. I know it is your hope, and I know it is mine, that we stand at this point of 100 years, that as we look to the bicentennial of the city of Kirkland, 100 years from now, they will look back on this generation, our generation, and say of us, what a courageous, what a civic-minded, what a generous generation they were. They have created and given to us an incredible city. Let's begin this year in celebration by honoring our past and embracing our future.
Exciting, I'd say.
I must say indeed that you got us off on the right foot, and we thank you for that. We have so much to celebrate. What do you say we invite everybody out to the lobby for a bite of 100-year-old birthday cake? Oh no, birthday cake for 100 years.
I think that sounds like a jolly good idea.
How about you follow Peter Kirk to the lobby?
All right, let's go. Yeah, have some cake.
We're going to go this way.